Coming up on TMS, sometimes good things happen.
TMS has fans all over the place.
Nintendo confirms stuff.
Hey, you look like Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, this guy's busted. The Shia. Mountain... Shia. Shia? Shia? LaBeouf? LaBeouf? I don't know. Shia. All right. The mountain eats like a pig.
Aw. You don't want this dentist.
Recommendals and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
19 trillion going to 21 trillion, not billion. We have trillions. Nobody even knows what a trillion is.
Money is honey. This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, The Morning Stream for, oh, my voice cracked, Wednesday, April 27th. 2016. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hi there, Scott. How are you?
Missed you yesterday.
I missed me too. My fault. My fault, people. It's well, not right. Really my fault. I mean...
Well, look, you had stuff. Sometimes Lixon, everyone. Lixon up.
My favorite reindeer was Lixon.
Oh, he was the best, except he had that problem where he licked himself all the time. Here's the deal. Sometimes technical issues arise. Sometimes things happen. And in Brian's case, you had to have there was like a dude at your house. That had to come do stuff, and wasn't just any dude. It wasn't your normal like stripper out of a cake guy that you hire on the occasion. We're not talking about that guy. You had something else happen, and we'll talk about that in a second.
Oh yeah,
because I want to know how it went.
And yeah, I'll clear up the story because you've got a little bit wrong.
Oh, it's not about it. It's not. It wasn't a guy with a naked wiener out.
Oh no, no. Okay, you did get it right. Yeah.
Oh, okay,
right.
Good. before we get to all that though, I got an email I want to share that sometimes you do some good in the world, and maybe we had zero impact on this. I don't know, but I want to at least mention it.
You can pretend, right?
Sure, sure. Kyle Murphy sent this email, and it was kind of a follow up to something they did a while ago. So for over a year ago, he says, I paid for a small segment on TMS for a GoFundMe page for my cousin who had cancer. She had many surgeries, chemo, and radiation, but the final test came back that she is 100% cancer-free now.
Yay.
I just wanted to give you my sincere thanks and give some good news as a follow-up. Frog Panthers definitely helped contribute to the GoFundMe, and it's amazing that everything turned out so good in the end. Please keep being the kind and caring dude you are. Cheers, Kyle Murphy.
Well, okay, Kyle, if you insist.
All right, fine.
That's so cool. I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah, me too. Imagine. Hold on.
Imagine.
I have an imagine file. Let me play that.
Imagine.
Actually, you know what I might swap out for imagine? How about this? See if you like this, Brian. You ready? Here's this.
I don't care.
There you go. That should be... Should be the new thing we play
That's
all the
great.
Time.
That's great. I love Drunk Trump.
Drunk Trump is great because you know what Drunk Trump is? It's just 50% slowed but retaining the pitch.
Right. I wish that there was a way to do it without getting that metallic sound to it.
Yeah, I don't know how you get around that, right?
Yeah.
It sounds like he's a robot. So here's one.
You don't see the big picture.
I want to start.
Can we get some more nuts over here?
And listen, in the era of me trying to be fair here, if someone could go ahead and do that to Hillary, I'll play those too. Sure. I just don't know how to do it.
Oh, I think drunk Bernie Sanders would be even better.
Oh, even better. Yeah. Get me some drunk Democrats. I'm happy to put them on the show. Just so people know. This is all that was made. So
we
just
have to break up the banks.
That's exactly what it'll sound like.
Sound a little bit like Reverend Jim, little Christopher Lloyd right there.
I'm not running for president. I'm changing the country.
Anyway.
Democratic socialism. There's a difference.
Yeah, so I want more, but this is all anyone made. So if more exists, I don't know what it is, but it includes wonderful things like... Here's a good one. Let me play here's a short one. All right, here you go.
I don't care. I no longer care. I care about this.
Oh, that's so awesome.
It's really great.
Good.
It's really great. All right. Anyway, my point. Back to the point. Brian, so you're out yesterday, and you got to tell me how it went.
I'll tell you the whole story.
Yeah, give us the whole schmear. What do you got?
All right, people. So I'm immediately right now going to put a moratorium on Brian. You should cut the cord. Mm. Why are you sucking at the teat of cable?
Yeah.
But so we do. We suck at the teat of cable, and I'll tell you exactly why. And it's not me, because everything I want to watch, every show that I want to watch that I care about, I can either get over the air on an HD antenna or with Hulu or Amazon.
Which you subscribe to. By the way, you get not only regular ass TV, but you also subscribe to all of those services that cord cutters love so much.
Yes, I know. Exactly. Yeah. I'm a cord
keeper.
Cord keeper. but I do all the cord cutter stuff. And you know what? It's because I like to, before I go to bed, and it's a bad thing to do, I know. But before I go to bed, I watch TV on my iPad.
Yeah.
I'll admit it. Yeah. I bathe my eyeballs in that lovely blue glow that makes sure that I sleep like crap. But anyway.
I started using the dimmer thing at night.
Yes, yeah.
It works pretty well.
The dimmer thing or the
what do you call it?
Night shift.
Night shift. I use that.
Yeah, which turns everything orange. There's some games that look like totally cool and with the orange glow. Yeah, it's really cool.
And some look terrible.
Yeah, some do look terrible.
Here's a recommendation, though. If you're watching Fargo Season 2, which is all set in the 70s, which has its own kind of brown-orange glow, it adds a little layer of brown-orange to an already brown-orange world.
That's pretty cool, actually. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, continue.
All right, so everything I want to watch is it could be cord cut.
Yeah.
Tina is a big fan of all the Bravo shows, and she listens to TMS, so you know she's gonna hear me talking about this. But it's all that Real Housewives of the Seventh Circle of Hell and Real Housewives of the Sarlacc Pit and all that stuff. So
a thousand years of
you'll be digesting Vanderpump for the next thousand years.
Oh, that sounds awful. But yeah, you've made this point before that she's chiefly responsible for you sticking with it.
And there's other shows that she likes. I mean, she likes HGTV. There's not streaming content you can get for that.
But it's not the usual reason. Like, she doesn't have like the NBA package where she live sports thing or something. Right?
No.
Right. All right.
So we have cable and we upgraded to a new TiVo box. Now I've tried, you know, the DVR service that comes with our TV, we tried it a little bit, not a fan, low energy. We're big fans of the way TiVo operates. It's not just the fact that we can stream it to our tablets while it's recording. So I could be watching live TV, and I think there are some cable companies that allow you to do that too.
Yeah.
But we just like the way there's a very intuitive, satisfying feel to TiVo that a lot of other cable companies don't get. It's the fact that you're fast forwarding through commercials and you see your show come on, you hit play, and it automatically jumps back a few seconds to make up for your reflexes, basically, to say, okay, you stop there. We're going to go back a few seconds because we know you want to see the beginning of the show. So yeah, it's really cool.
It's like a BMW and a
Yugo.
A Honda, even.
Sure.
Because the Hondas are fine. They get you where you need to go.
Exactly.
They're good, but and it's okay. If that's all you got, great. But if you could, you'd get the Beamer.
Right. Okay. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So in order to use TiVo with your cable company and replace your cable digital DVR box and all that stuff, you need to have what's called a cable card. And it's basically a PCMCIA card. Remember those, folks?
Oh, my Lord.
PCMCIA cards? Oh, yes. I've been playing with those all.
They live on in this form, right? This is where they persist, sure.
And their only purpose is to send a code and receive a code from the cable company that says, yes, you are authorized to receive these channels.
Wow.
Basically does everything that one of those set-top boxes can do, but in a little tiny PCMCIA card. By the way, PCMCIA stands for people can't remember. No, people can't memorize computer industry acronyms. And a little classic joke.
I've forgotten about that. That is an old joke, but a good one.
It is an old joke, but it's a favorite. It's the only way I can remember that they're PCMCIA cards. But in order to do this, so you've got to have this cable card, and you get it from the cable company and it's programmed, and sometimes you can get it activated just over the phone with the cable company, but 9 times out of 10, somebody has to come to your house. And here's what they do. They come to your house.
Yeah.
They come to your house between 8 a.m. and 12. That's the finest point that they can kind of schedule it sometime in these 4 hours.
Yeah, in the grand tradition of things, sure.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they go to the same screen that I can go to with my little select button on my TiVo and read off 11 numbers, which I could do over the phone myself as well.
Yeah. As it turns out, that's an easy thing for a human being to do.
It's an easy thing for a human being to do. Yeah. And all, you know, and then basically we just sit there and I sip my coffee and I say, you need anything? You want a glass of water? You want some coffee? Anything? He's like, no, no, I'm fine. And then we just stare at the TV and he says, oh, I like your Sphero BB-8. No. Like, yeah, that's fun. And we talk about that for a little while we wait for the little bar to fill up and nothing gets solved, basically.
Did the whole day go like this? Like, I mean, the whole visit, like nothing?
The whole visit. He was here for 2 hours, it was right in the 2 hours that we would have done TMS. So he showed up, you know, right before 9 and left a little bit before 11 o'clock. And it was, well, let's try this. All right, let's try this. And he brought several of these cable cards and we popped one out, popped another one in, popped one out, popped another one in.
You'd think after 2 or 3 of those, you'd get the idea that it's not the card.
You think, but he said at another place where he had a TiVo to deal with, it took 5 cards.
Really?
And he only brought 3 to my house.
Oh, great.
And I was saying, do you really think it was like the 5th card? Like, do you really think it? And if you did think that, then why didn't you bring 5 cards? So he left, but, you know, he left saying, all right, well, actually, you know, we've gotten a couple of channels are working. They're the wrong channels on the wrong numbers and stuff, but we got it working, which means you need to call TiVo and have them change the something code or have them resend a signal or something like that. I'm like, all right, fine. So he leaves. I call TiVo. I'm on the phone with TiVo for about an hour.
Yeah.
TiVo's like, all right, well, let's try this. No, it's, you know, you're not getting a pairing signal. They take me through those same menus and they say, you know, what does it say for this value? I tell them it's a question mark. What does it say for this value? It's a question mark. And so it's basically, you know, they're pointing fingers back at the cable company. Mm-hmm. So I call the cable company back and I'm connected with a very friendly person in the repairs department. And he's, you know, he greets me warmly and says, all right, let me get the phone number associated with your account. I give him my phone number and I hear him typing away and he goes, wait, Brian Ibbett? Is this Brian Ibbett? I'm like, yes. He's like, oh my God, I'm such a huge fan of TMS. I'm like, oh dude, thanks. This rocks. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, this is good. I've got a connection with somebody here. He's going to be able to help me.
Yep.
And he was super helpful. This guy's name is John. John, hey, if you're listening, dude, thanks. You were super helpful. Unfortunately, we did have to escalate it past him to the advanced, the second level text, the third level text.
Yeah. And they're not podcast listeners. They're just
movies. They're not podcast listeners. Like, oh, man. And I even said this. I said, isn't there a way that, you know, I could just talk through you to the advanced text? Because I know I'm going to get good service through John.
Sure.
John, you know, John loves TMS. So
sure, sure.
John's going to want to make sure I'm happy. Or is he, or he's going to hear about it on this show. So, bottom line is, stuff is still not working. We're still not getting channels.
You'd think this would be easy by now, don't you?
You would think. And boy, you look at, if you Google cable card, TiVo, whatever, you get forums up the wazoo, especially on the TiVo forums saying, you know, well, TiVo does everything right. They've got everything set up. These are all people who've like had this problem. They say, well, yeah, no, TiVo's got the thing set up correctly. You just need to have the cable company completely unpair and repair. And sometimes that doesn't work. So you might need to do it several times. And if that doesn't work, you need to read off this code. It is a nightmare, according to the TiVo forums.
Wow.
And
also, you just resurfaced a phrase my dad used to say all the time.
What's that?
Up the wazoo.
Up the wazoo.
He used to say that constantly. I think that was like their generation's way of saying, I don't know, whatever. What's our equivalent? Up the ass. That's right. I can't think of any other
way. It's like a big time or like,
I don't know. I don't know what else to compare it to.
Yeah.
Anyway, but to hear it is kind of weird. I haven't heard it since since before he died, and since then it's never come up. And now Brian Ibbett, my co-host of 1,000+ episodes on TMS, brings up
the wazoo.
Up the wazoo. That's amazing.
Man, it's a cat's pajamas.
So what do you do now? Are you screwed? What do you do?
No, it's been up. So we talked to another person at TDS who upped it to yet another level, another tech level.
How many levels are there? Do you know how many levels there are?
No idea. It's. It's like, you know,
the Scientology kind of thing where eventually you get to meet Xenu or whatever.
I could be right. Joe Cable. All cable companies are named after Joe Cable. They could call me at any moment. And if they do, it should only be like a couple minute call, but I might need to jump off if they call or step away from the mic to throw up.
All right. Perfectly. No, that's good. We know how to do that. That's good.
But yeah, so still not working. And dude, I mean, it's Survivor night, man. I mean, I know I can catch that later on streaming, but holy crap. You know me and Daryl, we love our Survivor.
Yeah, you guys are both really into that. Not since that gay dude won in the first season. You guys have been hooked ever since.
Richard Hatch.
What was his name? Richard Hatch, that's right.
Richard Hatch. Yeah, that's an easy name to remember for a fan of...
Well, he did really great work on Battlestar Galactica, both the old show and the new, and now that he's a gay superstar from reality TV...
And a tax dodger, a former... inmate.
Yeah. I'm sure he loves having his name associated with him. I'm sure it's great.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, all right. It's good. And John, if you're listening, that is awesome that you found him. It is great. We were talking just about how much fun it is once in a while to just bump into a listener in the oddest of places. And it happens quite a bit. Like,
totally.
You'll be, you know, just going about your day, or I'll be at a mall, or I'll be on the phone with somebody, or you'll be talking to tech support, and bam. Mm-hmm. Somebody knows what it means to need scooters. You know, it's crazy.
And it's great when it happens outside of something where you kind of expected it, BlizzCon or at like a podcast convention or something like that. Right.
Sure.
But when it happens completely out in the wild, it is a recharging your batteries kind of moment for sure.
Completely agree. We're going to call Daryl Skeels.
All right. What are we going to call him?
We're going to call him a hairy butt. And his first name will be Harry's, last name will be Butt. Here's his theme.
Yeehaw, I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
Yeah, yeah. All right, it's time for Stump Daryl, and is brought to you by...
Camcorder TV has a new web series. Tired of politics as usual? Then follow Jackson the Wonder Dog and his campaign team as they overcome obstacles and scandals to seek the highest office in the land in Jackson, a Candidate Unleashed. Only on CamcorderTV.com. Camcorder TV, humble beginnings, big ideas.
That sounds good to me. Daryl is on the line. We also have with us a caller. Who's this?
Hey, man, it's Chad from South Carolina. How you doing?
Hey, good, man.
Hey,
good.
South Carolina, Chad.
Boy, Chad's the one the other day that sent that that phone call in where he called me to task for talking Schmidt about which Carolina was the better one. And still, it is the most feedback we've ever gotten for a phone call of people saying how hard they laughed at the way you delivered that. So congratulations, man. That was great.
Well, thanks, man. And I don't want Brian to feel left out. Brian, all the times that I call Scott and I leave him an FU message, I want you to know that I'm using the royal FU.
Oh, thanks.
I don't want you left out, man.
That means a lot to me. Thank you.
Wait a minute. The royal FU? How do I not know what this is? Is this a thing?
The royal we. It's like, not the singular we, but the royal we is in the entire king's court.
I gotcha.
Yes. Okay. And it's also a line from The Big Lebowski.
That's right.
No, man, I make the royal we. Like me, you know, me alone throwing the underwear out the window.
Hey, that's on the streaming on Amazon right now. And I'm in the mood.
Love that movie.
I'm in the mood. All right. So, Daryl, what's up? How you doing? Mm-hmm. You doing good over there?
Yep.
Yeah. There was something you said yesterday I wanted to ask you about. Something you said on Twitter. You said something that sparked me to want to ask you a question. And what was it? Don't remember. So that went well.
Was it about going to the gym? Was it about...
No. Oh, I know what it is. Okay, so on FilmSack, people know this about FilmSack. On FilmSack, Daryl does these Trek connections where he finds out what kind of, you know, what actors or production people or directors or whatever also worked on something Star Trek related. And it's really fun to kind of have that and deal with it and all that. But you had said... I don't think people know how you do it, and so you posted a screenshot of like a spreadsheet, and I didn't know this either. So your method for finding all of this stuff is what, a bunch of macros in a spreadsheet?
Well, that's part of it. That's the main part that searches for matches.
So how does it know where? How is your spreadsheet searching? Is it searching the IMDb or the internet or something? Or like, what's it doing?
I took all the actors and production people and everyone that ever had anything to do with Star Trek and made a huge list and stuck it in the spreadsheet. and then I go into IMDb for whatever movie you're doing and take all those people and take out all the formatting and plug it into that spreadsheet and say, okay, who's in common?
That seems like a giant pain in the arse.
Yeah, I have three letters maybe to give you there, Daryl.
What's that?
API. Find a programmer that can work with the IMDb API and...
And you're in Fat City.
I bet somebody could whip this together in like...
That would be great
minutes.
If they could.
Yeah, like
that'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
Just a little entry form and a nothing. Yeah, I can't imagine that's that hard. I think their API is pretty open too, isn't it? Can't
you just, yeah.
Anyway, well, we'll find out. In the meantime, today we're going to do one of these here deals where we ask a question. And okay, so can I just get, I want to blow some wind through some people's hair real quick.
Ooh, all right.
So I don't mind, apparently.
This is not really a phrase, but I'll just say it anyway.
I've got less.
There's a bunch of people who are like, why don't you guys ask the question and then let Daryl and the guy answer it together? Let them work together as like the answering team. Kind of like phone a friend. And there were a lot of emails like this. Like, I don't understand why you're still getting the prediction and then having them work together. And you, Brian, had a really good explanation for this yesterday. So just briefly, what was that explanation?
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's to maintain kind of two separate games and two separate focuses. I feel like if we have Daryl and the caller working together, then it's basically the focus goes back to solely on Daryl with the caller acting as support, right? Mm-hmm. And I love having this separate game, these two games that are going on simultaneously of the prediction as well as the classic, the Daryl answering the question.
Yeah.
And it's funny, it's funny that this segment gets more cooks throwing in, oh, well, you should totally add some pepper in there. Oh, you know what you need is a little bit of basil. You need to throw some basil or basil
in there. Or basil, sure. Basil Fawlty, got it.
Right, exactly.
All right. So okay.
But yeah, and I don't want to work with Daryl if anybody wants to. Like, last he couldn't answer the most easy Allison Chain. I'm back here to defeat him, not work with him. Don't change the rules on me now.
All right.
And listen, Chad, perfect.
Yeah, see, Chad has spoken. I agree with Chad. All right, so we're gonna work it like we work it.
So here's what I'd like to try. Daryl, are you comfortable with muting yourself for a few seconds while and I'll hit you up in Skype and send you a message when you can come back.
Yeah.
I might never come back.
This is your isolation booth.
Yeah, we would do it to you if we could. I don't have a way to individually mute you is the problem.
Let's see.
But here's the fun thing is that we get Chad to make the prediction while you're off the air. So you don't know if the help he's giving you is steering you right or steering you wrong.
Right. Does that make sense? Or has Brian added a third tier to an already confusing thing?
Yeah, that last thing.
Let's try it once and see how it goes.
Right.
If it's the worst idea ever, we can always come back. We can sort
it around. Doesn't this just mute me? It doesn't mute you?
Yeah, just mute you. So you will not hear us until Daryl.
Oh, I'll hear you, but you won't hear me.
Oh.
Well, don't use mute. Use hold or something. Isn't there like a...
There's a way to mute us on his end, isn't it?
Yeah,
I don't see anything.
You might have to pause the call or something. And if there's no option to do that, then maybe we don't do it. But I thought there was a way
just
to...
Maybe just hang up on Daryl and call him back.
Yeah, that would work, actually.
Hold on.
You know what? That's what I'm going to do. Daryl, don't go anywhere. Okay, you know the rules. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Okay.
All right.
I haven't gotten Daryl. It's just us and Chad now.
Us and Chad. All right, Chad. And we got to do this quick because he's probably going to listen to the AGR stream. But the category today...
Right.
The category today is Die Hard 3, Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Yeah.
Your prediction, sir.
Yeah, what do you think?
God, he screwed me last time. I'm going to say he's going to get it.
All right, you think he's going to get it?
Get it right. Okay,
all right.
Cool.
Now
all right, let's pull Daryl back
pulling
in.
Pulling Daryl back into the call. This is really weird doing it this way. All right, Daryl, you're back?
Yeah,
you're out of the isolation booth? Okay, good. You have no idea what he predicted. Now, see, this does kind of fix the issue people are having with the whole working together thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's kind of a pain to call Daryl back
it's
every
like
time.
It's like I'm in the soundproof booth.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. You guys ever seen Quiz Show? Man, that movie's good.
Oh, it's so good. John Turturro and Ray Fiennes.
So good, dude. If you guys have never seen Quiz Show, stop what you're doing, except listen to the show, finish it, and then go watch Quiz Show, directed by Robert Redford, an amazing film. Anyway, all right. Brian, give us our deal here.
All right. So just to reiterate the rules here for new people listening to the show who really are confused at this point, we've gotten a prediction from Chad in South Carolina about whether or not Daryl is going to get the question right to a specific category. If his prediction is correct, then he wins a prize, which is, what is the prize today, Scott? I think this one's on.
I don't know. Do we have a carryover? I don't remember. Or did they win?
I think they.
Oh, I gave him the Halo thing last.
Right. Oh, right. They did win. So.
Yeah. So do you have any?
I have
a
code. Yes, I have a code.
If you don't, I have more. Whatever you have.
Nope, I've got one. Unless you've got it super handy. Here we go. I've got it handy.
All right.
All right, your code today, or your the thing you can possibly win, is a Steam key for the game coming up. There we go. Let's do Retro City Rampage.
Oh, I love that game. That game is great.
Retro City Rampage. Let me copy this down here.
Ridiculous fun, that game. It's really good.
There we go.
It's all like, right. Imagine the old GTA 2D game, but amped up to a billion with like the best 80s soundtrack. It's awesome.
Cool. It's actually even Retro City Rampage DX. Whoa.
Hold
so,
on
you
now.
Know it's got extra D and X.
Yeah. Push holding your D out. Get your D out. We're all right. Ready for that. X-rated
right.
D.
So that's your prize. And you get to work with Daryl and steer him wrong, right or wrong, depending on whether what your prediction was. All right. Daryl, your category today is Die Hard 3. Die Hard with a Vengeance.
All right. Die Hard with a Vengeance, Die Hard
and your
3.
Your question is, go ahead.
Here it is. In Die Hard 3, Die Hard with a Vengeance, John McClane has a nugger. He spelled that wrong. Another terrible day. In this movie, he meets up with a sidekick character played by Samuel Mother Effin L. Jackson. What is the name of Jackson's character in the film? Here are your four options. A, Zeus. B, Ray. C, Jesus, or Jesus, I don't know which way you'd say it. Or D, Jules. So that's Zeus, Ray, Jesus, or Jules. Them's your options. So now you gotta do it, man. There's no turning back. You gotta like dig, put your hands deep into the toilet hole and unplug this mother scratcher.
That's right. Now, Chad, you can help him, of course, and but you cannot say what your prediction was. So Daryl has no idea if if you're really helping him or steering him wrong.
Yeah.
Or do I?
All right.
Or do you?
This does fix the problem, by the way. But go ahead, Chad. I'm with Brian on how to fix this. Okay, go ahead.
So Daryl, you know, you didn't listen, or you couldn't listen to me on the Allison Chains thing. I want you to listen to me on this one. I am not going to steer you wrong. I'm here to help. That's why I'm here. Forget what I said earlier. It is Zeus, without a doubt. It is Zeus.
Oh, this is a lie. Okay, it's Jules.
All right, this is the jury has spoken. Let's see if it's Jules. Is it Jules? I don't think Daryl's seen Pulp Fiction. It is not Jules. The answer is Zeus. A.
Oh, I wish sure
you,
Daryl.
That's amazing.
I was sure he was going to steer me wrong.
Well, here's the answer. Zeus's character's name is Zeus. He runs an electronic shop. He gets involved when the main villain forces Bruce Willis to go and head into Harlem. Here's a clip of that first meeting. So here you go. I got to paste it in.
John McClane, I owe you one.
Damn right you owe me. You got any idea what those guys are doing to my shop right
Chill
now?
Chill out, Jesus.
Chill out. What the f- you trying to relate to me? Talk like a white man.
Look, Jesus, I'm sorry you got involved.
Why you keep calling me Jesus? I look Puerto Rican to you.
Guy back there called you Jesus.
He didn't say Jesus. He said, hey, Zeus. My name is Zeus.
Zeus?
Yeah, Zeus. As in father of Apollo, Mount Olympus. Don't with me or I'll shove a lightning bolt up. Zeus, you got a problem with that?
Oh, man. I don't remember that movie being so sweary. I guess it was.
Anytime you've got Samuel L. Jackson in a movie. I'm glad we didn't ask Daryl to say what was the sign that Bruce Willis had to wear in Harlem.
Oh, yeah. That would have been hard. That would have been very hard. All right, Chad, it's all right. Go back to the superior of the Carolinas and your own.
Oh, that was a disaster.
It didn't go real well, but that's okay. Now, wait, hold on. Did he predict? He predicted Daryl would get it right.
Yeah, he predicted Daryl would get it right. And he did his best to convince Daryl that he was on the up and up, which is the best part.
And I love that because it sounds like to me he is a huge Die Hard fan. He knew this movie up and down, and he knew that he'd be able to get it right. But that exuberance and that surety made Daryl think he was misdirecting. That
it
is
was
amazing.
Actually, all of his talk before before you put me in the soundproof booth.
Oh, really?
That made me think, oh, he's going to pull a fast one on me.
Well, see, this is the thing. You'll never know. I actually really like this. We're going to have to. I hate the whole call you back thing because it's awkward, but we'll figure out something.
Yeah,
I
actually,
like it.
If we pull the caller on the line first, get his prediction, and then get Daryl on the line, then we can bypass that whole that whole rigmarole.
I like this. All right, come back for another try tomorrow as we continue to evolve this weird thing we call Stump Daryl. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can also find him at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. And now he'll play his weird little Google thing with us.
Ah, yes. Let's see here. I'm going to read part of a query that I've entered into Google, and you complete the phrase and win nothing.
All right.
I have a small blank.
Small blank.
I have a small blank.
Well, it's gonna, penis has got to be right up there.
I would think so.
But also probably...
I have a small mole. I have a small house.
It's so funny you said small mole. I was thinking small mole, but didn't say it because it seemed weird.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking small mole.
Circle of friends.
I have a small... Oh, yeah.
I have a small problem. I'm going to say that's it. I have a small problem. Somebody's going to say that.
Okay. All right. I'm going to say I have a small fortune.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
All right. So we say, I say fortune. He says, what'd you say?
Problem.
Yeah.
Those are both good. And I think they're better than this. I have a small head.
That really?
I have a small head.
Yes.
Is that really what it is?
That's really what it is.
Why are peepee? Why are people searching? Why are peepee?
That'll be another Google search.
Yeah, I guess it will.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Let's get into today's news brought to you by...
Michael is a young boy that lost his mother at an early age when a creature not from this world died at his feet. Because of that, he finds that he is able to control the elements through music. As he hones his abilities, he draws the government's eye down upon him. Now forced to run, he needs to find out why the creature chose him to inherit these powers on that day so very long ago. If this sounds interesting to you, head on over to inkshares.com/books/witch-hunt to pre-order today and help an author get his first book published.
Seems all right. Seems like a plan.
Sure. Do that.
Yeah. So here's the deal here. Nintendo has got hot news this morning. Nintendo. They make the video games there at Nintendo. They have confirmed the new NX console, which up to this point has been mostly rumor and scuttlebutt, but very little in the way of facts. And now it is true. Nintendo has confirmed the NX console will be released March of 2017. Less than a year from now, you will have a brand new Nintendo console. Whether or not it is a portable device, a console, a TV type thing, or a combination of both, nobody knows. There's currently theories about that, but they have not released anything other than saying it's a brand new concept.
Mm-hmm.
And
brand new concept.
It'll
connect to your TV through the HDMI port.
Biggest deal with it, though, is that they are not going... Okay, there's two things. They're not going to show it at E3, which either is weird that they wouldn't or is a continuing sign that E3 is less and less important. A lot of people feel that way right now. Mm. Who was it? So Nintendo stopped doing press conferences. Who was the big publisher that stopped? Was it Activision? Somebody big, or EA, or someone huge stopped doing floor space.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
like
I don't know.
It's kind of a big deal. Like there's a big shift that the value you get out of E3 versus the cost that it costs you as a company to exhibit there is no longer. It's just not important. With the internet, you just tell everybody about your stuff. It's like,
right.
Who cares?
Right.
You don't need
you don't need, right. But I mean, if you get floor space, then you can, I don't know, you can.
And it's just an industry show, so you can't
kind
have,
of is,
you
right?
can't have, you know, like PAX is already there to let regular people play games. So at the industry show, you have press. Like, so what if a bunch of press gets to play?
Oh, it was EA.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
How are you going to give away little squishy balls and stuff, though, with your logo on it?
Well, you can, but again, you're only giving it to like a handful of press people and industry people.
Right. Right.
Like the regular public can't go to that thing.
It makes sense because that is such a huge cost. I remember doing trade shows back when I worked for a company.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd go every year. We'd buy booth space. We'd buy the carpeting. We'd buy the union labor to set up the booth.
It's expensive.
We'd buy all those walls and materials and prints and stuff like that. And we'd send, you know, who knows how many people out there to basically just stand and there'd be like five of us standing while the sales reps would be like, all right, can I show you this? Come on over here. Let me show you this. Like, oh God.
It's a value proposition that sometimes makes sense. And, and then when it doesn't, you stop doing it. And right now E3 is less of a good value proposition for these companies.
Right.
Anyway, the new Zelda game's coming out with it at launch. So that's kind of a big deal. That Zelda, they call it Legend of Zelda, the horse tickler. I don't know what
that is. Perfect.
I forgot the name. I don't have it here.
Epona makes a strong return to the game. Oh,
yeah. Big time. You tickle Epona. I hate the name of that horse. I hate it. I've always hated it. Can't stand it.
Yeah,
Epona
yeah.
is awful to say out loud. Anyway, there's that. There's your Nintendo news. In other news, New York man was attacked because, quote, you look like Shia LaBeouf.
Shia, come on.
Sorry.
Now.
Is it Shia then?
Show Shia some respect.
I'm watching that Sia video.
Yeah.
Or is it Sia? Oh,
the Sia video with him, the cage match with him and the little girl.
Yeah, him and the little girl that's in all her videos that's always dancing around making faces.
Right. Maddie Ziegler is her name. She's awesome.
She is, but what a weird yeah. video, man. It's freaking weird.
It really is, yeah.
Yeah. I love everything about her new album, by the way. It is. Mm. It is really good. She's money.
She's the real deal.
Yeah, for my money, she's like. All right, let's imagine.
Imagine.
Oh, damn it! I don't have that handy. Here we go. Here we go.
Imagine.
Imagine a world where in a room you've got, what's her name? I can't think of her name. Just hello from the other side. Who's that? What's her name?
That's
Adele.
Yeah, Adele.
Good Lord. So you got Adele sitting there. You got Amy Winehouse there in the middle. She's come back from the dead, and she's now with us again. And then you got Sia. All very similar ranges of vocal talent, right?
Mm-hmm.
All really amazing. I think I take Sia. I think I like the way she sings better than any of them. She can belt it out, man.
She can. It's a very unusual voice, and not one that I feel like we've ever heard in music, where there's even like some of those higher registers, there's like a cracking, but it's like controlled cracking, right?
Yeah.
It's like,
it doesn't make you go, ooh, that's, you're going to get kicked off American Idol now.
How do they let that one get through the editing booth? But no, it's like, it fits with the sounds that she's making. I don't know.
I also like that she's hitting her biggest stride and having her most success at age 40. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Right.
That's awesome. You don't have to be 21-year-old Ariana Burrito Grande.
Venti. Ariana Venti.
Ariana Venti.
double calf, extra whip.
Yeah, shooting missiles out of her barely legal boobies, you know? But that's what I mean, that video with her shooting the boobies, the things, she's just this little sex symbol running around. And she's fine. She has a pretty good voice.
Listen, Katy Perry did it first.
But I respect people who figure this stuff out or hit it later and just kill it. Like, I don't know what it is about that. Because you're no longer relying on a bunch of dirty men ogling at your young, supple body. Instead, you're like, you're just talented, man.
Totally. Yeah, we've liked Sia for a while. She, we found her or came to her through the Greg Kurstin connection, the bee and the bird and the bee. Mm-hmm. Because in addition to doing that stuff with Inara George, he produced one of her albums and also had her do backing vocals on a Bird and the Bee cover. Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh, who's this vocalist? Really like her. And then started listening to her stuff and totally got hooked on her. They're just such amazing stuff. And her video for, I think it's called You've Changed, is just, it's one of the most brilliant sweeted video games. You remember the term sweeting?
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah.
It's like you're watching a sweeted karaoke game. It's great. It's a really, really clever video.
All right. I may not have seen that one. I saw the more recent one with the little Asian girl who's doing karate. Have you seen that
one? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That one's cool, too.
It's is that Elastic Heart? No, what is that?
Alive, maybe?
Yes, right.
That song's real good. Mm-hmm. Gets right in your soul and pokes at it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, back to the point here. New York man was assaulted over the weekend because it seems he looks too close. He looks too much like Shia LaBeouf. Mario Licato, age 26. It's a me, a Mario Licato, age 26. Was sucker punched around 8 p.m. Eastern time on his way to a show in the Lower East Side. New York police confirmed it to the Hollywood Reporter. The suspect told Licato the attack happened because, quote, you look like Shia LaBeouf. Police said, citing the report, it's a misdemeanor assault in New York City. I don't know what happened to our link. Damn it.
I don't know, but now I've got to Google.
Yeah, you need to see this guy. I don't know what happened to the link.
Here we go. I found a great image here.
Yeah. He looks just like him.
He does. There's a side-by-side photo that I'll post in the chat room that...
it's freakish.
Yeah.
Let me look.
But really, to be honest, it's just that every hipster right now with the scruffy beard and the...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the distant eyes.
My least favorite one is the Hollywood Reporter, where I pulled this article. Mm-hmm. They say New York man attacked because he looked like Shia LaBeouf, and there's a huge photo of what you think is the guy.
But no, it's really Shia LaBeouf.
It's Shia LaBeouf at the Tribeca Film Festival. Can't you just show us the guy? Jackasses. Anyway, he got hit because he looks like Shia LaBeouf.
Well, why would so? It's funny that that's like a, you know, the article is written with the indication that that's justification. Well, mm-hmm. The guy thought he was Shia LaBeouf, so it's okay.
Well, he says this. I want to thank that he said this on social media, as the kids call it. I want to thank the guy who randomly decided he needed to hit me last night. This happened because you looked exactly like Shia LaBeouf, is what the guy said. Well, sir, you boosted my self-esteem because he is pee hot. What does pee hot mean?
Pee hot?
Pretty hot?
I don't know, but if your pee is hot, then make sure you consult a physician.
I think all our pee is hot for a minute.
It's at least 98.6 degrees.
Yeah, for a second there, it's a little hot. I want to know if she was a suspect is at large. They haven't found him. When they do, I'm sure he'll yell, no, as they find him.
Holy cowie, David C. I don't know what that toy is, but I want it.
Hold on, clicking it.
Click it.
Ooh, what is that? Oh, it's not the robot from that video, is it? It might be. No.
This is like it's a Bandai toy.
Look at that, dude.
I want that thing.
She has many points of articulation.
See, that's the thing. Baron Karza back in the Micronauts days had mm-hmm. the same thing where like he could shoot his fist at you.
Yeah.
But then like, doesn't he have to go walk over there and pick up his fist and put it back on, like yep. in the middle of a fight?
You do. That's the worst thing about those missile things.
Right. It's like, great. You know, you've just shot me. Terrific. But now to reload, you have to walk over there. And if you shoot both your fists, how are you going to pick up your fists to put them back in to shoot me again?
With your stumps, your little stumpies. It'd be really great if you could shoot them out and then there was a technology that would retract them.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you'd go schling and hit the other robot and then go suck it right back up in his arm.
It'd be great, but it's not. It's not going to happen. It's never going to happen.
No, not in our lifetime.
No.
Let's see. You know the mountain on your Game of Thrones there?
Yeah.
So, you see the first episode, right? You saw that?
I did. Yeah, the first episode of the season.
Yeah. It was good. It was good. Was real good. Set up some nice stuff. Whatever. It's Game of Thrones. It is what it is. There's some boobs. Sadly, they're on a very old woman.
Well, they're on a young woman, and then
youngish.
Then we see an old woman's boobs.
Yeah, and it's not.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
If that's your first exposure to the show, you may never come back because ooh, gross.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what does the mountain eat every day to look how he does? Well,
everything.
He says people have been asking me this, and what diet do I eat? Here is a diet plan for my preparation for World's Strongest Man 2016, because he's running for that. he has a whole life of like strongest man competitions that he does outside.
Oh,
of
yeah,
thing.
Like lifting those tires and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's like Hodor's, you know, he does his DJ stuff on the side. It's kind of like that. Right. Says this,
by the way, this action figure, $300. I'm not buying one of these.
Oh, my goodness. $300. Yeah. What do you get for that? Do you get replacement boob?
You should, missiles? Right? It should automatically reload.
Yeah, no kidding.
Reloading. Okay, I'm sorry. Back to the mountain.
I'm reloading.
Reloading.
Damn it, Bill. This is a lot. Let's see. This is a lot, so I don't recommend you try this, he says. I don't know why I emphasize you. I should have emphasized don't.
Right.
Anyway. He says 6:50 in the morning. This is 6:50 a.m. in the morning. Workout. Cardio plus core for 30 minutes. BCCA. glutamine, and a handful of almonds. That's what he eats. Okay. 7:30, 8 eggs, and 200 grams of oats and blueberries and strawberries. Avocado at 9:30, 400 grams of ground beef, 400 grams of sweet potatoes, handful of spinach and greens. At 11:50, BCCA. I don't know what that is. BCCA.
I don't either. I think it's like a nutritional supplement.
Must be. Like a muscle builder.
Right.
Glutamine at 12 noon. He has 400 grams of chicken, 400 grams of potatoes and greens, some fruits, 1,400 hours. He eats blended up 115 grams of oats and
sweet
potatoes.
It's the beer
potatoes.
Can collectors of America, according to Google. Eats a member.
That's great. Eats a whole aluminum can and everything's good.
Right.
Two bananas, 150 grams, Kellogg's Rice Krispies, frozen berries, handful of almonds, peanut butter, and glutamine. 14:30, training strongman, BCCA, glutamine. He's eating a lot of that glutamine and BCCA every day.
Branch chain amino acids is what it is.
All right. That's a thing to eat. Vitagro.
Delish.
Vitaro. He eats some Vitaro. Then he eats 6 more eggs, avocado, 30 grams of almonds, more peanut butter, drink a lot of water throughout the day, juices and get more calories. Middle of the night, he wakes himself up and has 50 grams of casein protein or raw eggs.
Jeez.
What do you do? Are you just farting all day? Like you just, cracking them off on your way to the set? Uh-oh, here comes the mountain again.
And I could never use the same toilet twice.
He will not speak until he has destroyed all the toilets of Restoros.
That's right.
Westeros, not Restoros.
Restoros is even better.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Westeros.
Excuse me, could you tell me where the Restoros is?
Yeah, the Restoros. Is there a men's Restoros here?
Have you crossed the Dothraki Sea? And then you walk past the statue of the first men, first door on the right.
Yeah. Jury had a really good point about who's going to win this war. And he says... I go, what do you mean? He goes, how about the only person with 3 giant killing machines that fly in the air and bleed fire and everything? How about that? I said, all right, you're probably right. But I don't know who's going to control those dragons. I'm not sure it's her. I mean, I know she's the mother, but I got some ideas.
Okay.
I think Shrimpy Boy McGee over there might have it. I think he may be the one.
Sure. Shrimpy Boy McGee.
You know, Peter, played by Peter Dinklage.
Yes.
Shrimpy Boy McGee. All right, what else? Oh, we got a dentist story to tell you about. This will make you happy if you like dentistry.
Great.
Dentist of horror, Jacobus Van Nierop, has been jailed in France.
Oh, no.
Jacobus Van Nierop. Are we Nierop? Nierop.
Yeah, he's Dutch. That could be pronounced Flurg, probably, and... We'd have no idea.
We're missing like 3 umlauts. I don't know what's happening here. A Dutchman reported or dubbed the Dentist of Horror has been sentenced to 8 years in jail in France for mutilating the mouths of some 120 patients.
Oh my God.
Jacobus Van Nierop, age 51, quote, took pleasure, unquote, in causing horrific injuries to patients in the small central town of Château-Chinon. Prosecutor said.
I'm sure that's correct.
I'm 100% sure.
Yeah.
He was banned from practicing dentistry and fined 10,500 euros. That's $11,000 in American money. Mm. Van Nierop fled to Canada when suspicions arose that strongly fought extradition to France in 2014. The court of the French central town of Nevers. Nevers, really? Would it be Nevers? Or to be Nevers. Would you
Nevers.
Say
that? You probably wouldn't even pronounce the last R and S. It would just be
Nevers.
Nevers.
Hey, when are we leaving?
Nevers. Nevers. Where are we going? Nevers.
Nevers. So they got their own little who's on first problem going on. Anyway, I heard the patients had suffered broken jaws. Boy, listen to this. Broken jaws, recurrent abscesses, and septicemia from Van Nierop's work. He had drugged patients and mutilated them as they slept in his dentist chair. Prosecutor Lucille Jean-Bru said Van Nierop had carried out useless and painful procedures. She said his aim has been to earn money through claiming on patients' medical insurance schemes and taking pleasure in causing pain.
120 patients. Does France not have Yelp?
Yeah, no kidding.
Right? You think after one.
One star would not go again.
If I could give less than 1 star, I would.
Yeah, if there was a lower rating, I'd give it. Not a fan. Low energy. Anyway.
I don't care.
You know, it's really great.
I don't care.
Okay.
It's way more musical.
I don't care.
It sounds drunk.
It does, yeah.
Wow. Yum, 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 yum. That's not it. That's some separate thing. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it's going to be a little bit of recommendals time with Nicole, and then we got a load of emails to get through. Tom's not here today. He's out of town. I should mention that while he's out of town, I'll be hosting DTNS today in his stead, keeping his seat warm.
Nice.
With a guest. It should be fun. And I will mention frequently that his wife works for Google, like he always does. And I'll do the best I can, you know?
Full disclosure.
Yeah.
Google. Did he send you the? I guess you don't need Gavel McLeod for DTNS.
No, that thing stays in its velvet lockbox until
under
Friday.
Glass.
Yeah, every time. Fridays are when that comes out and its magic is done. But until then, forget it. All right. So we'll come back after all that. But before that, music. What do you got there?
All right. Well, we've got a cover that's going to satisfy a couple of requests. First, a sad one. Hi, guys, says Chad. 3 months ago on the 23rd, Anna, my girlfriend of over 2 years, unexpectedly passed away, and I'm still missing her every day. Last October, she submitted a request in honor of our anniversary, which really brightened my day when I heard it. She loved Britney Spears, so if possible, I'd like to hear somebody cover a song she did. Thanks and love the show. Travis also wrote in and said, I've been listening to you guys ever since Jury came on. My birthday is the 25th. I trust Brian, or Brain as he writes, to find a good cover. Your biggest fan in North Carolina, F South Carolina. Heavy.
Wow.
Signed Travis.
Let's get the fight going. Yeah, I like this. Yeah. This is great.
He wants a heavy metal cover of a song, anything from the 80s or 90s. And I'm going to try and satisfy both requests, although I'm thinking that even though Britney started in the 90s, I'm thinking that this song may have been released in the early 2000s. Yeah, 2003. Mm. I don't care. This qualifies. It's going to qualify. I'm going to make it qualify.
I don't care.
There you go. This is a cover of Toxic, and it is done. It's instrumental, but it is done with a heavy metal style by a band called Elixir. This is going out to both Chad and Travis. Here you go. It's Toxic by Elixir.
And these are guys that study NATO. You know why? They're so close to it. Did you ever get so close to a deal or a job that you don't really see it?
Go f*** a refrigerator, Peckerneck. This is the Morning Stream.
He's Fletcher. He's a little harsh. Peckerneck and all that. There you go. Boy, he sounds just... It's like a weird drunk stoner thing going on there, don't you think?
Yeah, totally. It's
really weird. I like it, though. Let's get on with it. Let's make it happen. Where are we at now? Oh, I know. I know. We're calling Nicole, that's what.
Yay, good.
Yay. Nicole Spagnolo. I even have a little theme for her. I don't know if you've heard it before.
I don't know if I have. I think you'll have to play it and I'll be able to tell you.
Does this sound familiar? Nicole Spagnolo is on the line. Hello, Nicole. How are you?
Hello, everyone.
Hey, how are you?
Doing good.
Yeah, life's good. Treating you well, all that.
Busy.
Yeah. Always busy. Stay frosty, as the kids say.
Hey, are you playing The Division?
I am, on PC.
You suck.
I know. Hey, listen, Eric bugs me all the time about playing The Division.
I haven't been watching much TV or movies because of this game.
Yeah, it's great.
Wow.
Love this game.
It's really good. It's good. It's I think it's a little raw on the tail end. I think
we got to 30. We're doing dailies now and just kind of grinding gear.
Yeah.
But it's still fun.
Yeah, They'll probably. I suspect all that stuff will keep.
Did you go
better.
In the dark zone yet?
I have. It's fun. Multiplayer dark zone. Oh yeah. Yeah. Immediately, pretty much. It's a good game. There's nothing wrong with that game.
I wish I could be that person to shoot you.
Yeah. Well, I wish you could, too. But you guys go ahead with your controllers and your whatnots, and you
PS4.
Go ahead.
Oh, good time.
Eric rides me every day about it.
I know.
So let's do this. Nicole comes on the show. We do recommendals, stuff from streaming services, despite Brian's unwillingness to truly unplug his cable, yet he still loves the streaming. And we have a theme. What's our theme this week, Nicole?
The theme, well, two cards. Setting is in an office, in a school, or in a prison.
Mm-hmm.
And scene is a royal court, a tennis court, or a courtroom.
Okay. Now, Brian and
here it comes. Well, I was going to say.
You guys picked the same thing, didn't you?
No, we didn't. We didn't. So I'm going to let Brian go first, and then you guys can tell me whether you think I'm cheating or not. I don't think I am.
Okay.
I don't think I'm cheating. I'm pretty sure I'm not.
I know I'm cheating. I was only able to do one part of the card.
Oh.
Wow. All right.
It's totally worth it, though.
I'm going to make up for both of you because I'm doing two parts of each card.
What?
Okay. Yes.
Brian doesn't dink around. He's serious about this win in business. I guess there's no contest.
But it's
anyway.
A really shitty movie. Okay, let's get it.
All right. Here's your clip. I'll play it, and then you can... Any setup for this, or you want to just go?
Came out in 2015. I don't think you're going to have any problem at all identifying what this movie is from the clip you're going
to
hear.
All right, here it is.
Wait, what happened to my tennis court?
James, you will no longer refer to this area as a tennis court. From this point on, this is the yard. Understand something, James? The yard is the most deadliest part of prison. It's where you come to get your few precious minutes of fresh air and sunlight. Do you understand me?
Fresh air. How many times did I breathe in clean air, fragrant with lavender, and take it for granted?
James, I don't give a f*** how many times. I don't give a shit.
I'm just saying.
Shut up, James. You gotta step carefully, because if you step in the wrong place at the wrong time, you'll end up in the wrong territory. For a person like you that can't fight, it's not a good thing, James. It's not a good thing at all. Right now, you in the brothers only section, man. You got 2 seconds to get your white ass out. If you get Molly Watt.
Okay, Darnell.
Who's Darnell?
You are.
My name is Leroy. Yeah, I suggest you walk, white boy.
All right.
Walk!
I'm walking.
Turn around and walk!
I'm walking.
Okay. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know.
Nicole
I know
got it right away.
Get Hard.
Oh, yep. Exactly. I haven't seen Get Hard.
I haven't either, but I know the movie.
Yes. Yeah, it's not hard to, no pun intended, not hard to figure out from the... from just hearing those two actors, of course. So Will Ferrell, Kevin Hart, you're hearing that clip. Will Ferrell plays a stockbroker who gets in legal trouble and basically is sentenced to 10 years in San Quentin. Mm-hmm. But he's got 30 days to get his affairs in order. So he hires Kevin Hart to teach him how to prepare for prison. Basically, you know, he's lived this whole milquetoast life, his whole life, everything handed to him. And
are you telling me that Kevin Hart is playing a sidekick type character in a movie?
It's hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't even wrap my head around it.
Ride Along.
Yes, and mm-hmm. Ride Along 2, and the new Rock movie he's in where he's yet another sidekick tag along guy. I think that's his job in Hollywood. I think that's what they want from him.
Did you see him on Saturday Night Live?
No.
Yes, and he was great.
I know. I didn't think he was great.
You didn't think he was great? I thought he was really funny.
His monologue was not good.
I like him. I like his stand-up.
The very first time he was on there.
I like his stand-up. I also like that he's tiny. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Little tiny man.
And of course, that comes up a bunch of times. You know, it's one of the things Will Ferrell does to prepare is lift Kevin Hart like he's lifting weights above his head.
Mm-hmm. You know who I like in that vein of comedy, like the kind of comedy he does on stage is I like what's his name? Burris. I can't think of his first name.
Burris?
The one that did the jokes about the one that he kind of started the whole Bill Cosby avalanche thing. Because he had all those jokes. But I can't think
Hannibal Burris.
That guy makes me freaking laugh. There's something about him. He's got a tone. He's got a, I don't know, he's got a vibe, man. Mm. It's groovy.
Have you seen the comic Rodman?
I've never heard of Rodman.
No. Is his first name Dennis?
Is it just Rodman?
His name is Rodman.
Okay, Rodman.
Oh, Rodman. Okay, that's his first and last name.
He's the winner of Last Comic Standing, I think a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Super funny guy.
Really?
It's ever since Last Comic Standing was taken over and actually made into a decent competition show because they actually select all the comedians beforehand.
Yeah.
They got rid of
Jay Moore and things went up. Things got better.
I really enjoy. But anyway, he was the winner and he was very, very funny. He's supposed to be coming out with a TV show.
Oh, good. Like, oh, so he got some stardom from this. That's nice when you hear about
that.
That's
cool. Yeah.
I'll have to check him out. Rod Man.
Wanda Sykes took over Last Comic Standing.
Oh, she's good. I like her. She's all
right. And rebooted it. Yeah.
Yeah, she's good. I like her.
A couple other people of note in this film. So this is streaming on HBO Go. Okay. It's the only place you can watch it. Well, watch it for quote unquote free.
Go or now, right? Go HBO Go or go HBO Now.
HBO period. Now,
yeah. Streaming services. They count.
Yeah. Allison Brie. Playing a very non Adderall Annie role in this, like very different from her Community character. T.I. is in this and Coach Craig T. Nelson is in this as well.
And it's not good, you think?
It's, you know what? It is, you pretty much know what you're getting into and you're not disappointed if you go in saying, this is a Will Ferrell, Kevin Hart thing and I know pretty much what I'm going in for. It's like, you know, Hangover humor, that kind of thing.
Step Brothers, Talladega Nights, that sort of thing.
Is he,
I have a prediction here. I've not seen the movie at all. I've never looked it up. I have no idea who Craig T. Nelson plays, but I'm going to guess he's the prison warden.
No.
Oh,
no.
Man.
No, he's not.
Is he the judge?
He's not. He is the, he's Alison Brie's father, as well as the head of the firm that Will Ferrell works for.
Okay. Wow. Dang it. I was sure he'd be the warden.
Yeah.
It just seemed right to me.
The lovable mean grandpa says good news. Yeah, pretty much. It's almost what you expect from Craig T. Nelson.
Yeah, they got to hurry
up. What stereotype can we put him in?
Yeah. You got to hurry up. They need to hurry up and finish Incredibles 2 before he dies. He's getting old.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, hurry up.
Do not let your 13-year-old watch it, Met the Pirate. Here's how formulaic and predictable it is, though. Tina and I watched the first half together Monday night, and then she's like, yeah, you can go and watch the rest without me. So I watched the rest of it after she went to bed. And then the next day she says, here's how I think it ended. And she predicted it almost perfectly.
Didn't even need to watch it.
No. Didn't even need to watch it.
Right. Awesome. That tells you what you're getting.
There's great
then.
Moments in it, though. I mean, you know, if you've got HBO Go now, then, doesn't cost you anything except a couple hours of time. And it's worth a couple hours of time.
HBO Go now.
All
right. I'm going to play a clip and then you guys got to guess.
All right.
Well, first of all, I'll tell you that it's okay. I'm not cheating. I really am it. I really am not cheating.
Which means you are.
No, I'm not. So, okay. Yeah, right. I'll play it first and then I'll explain. Scott. Well, you guys can tell me if you think so. Here we go.
Professor Hill, Judge Thomas, please stand to be sworn in.
During the fall of 1982, Judge Thomas began to use work situations to discuss sex. I could not keep silent.
Is it true? Is the story true?
I deny every allegation against me today that suggested that I, in any way, ever harassed Anita Hill. This is a circus, national disgrace. And from my standpoint, it's a high-tech lynching.
Whoa, geez, Judge Thomas. Easy there, buddy.
Dramatization of...
That's the new Maria Hill thing. It's not a documentary. That's like a dramatization thing that's on...
It's a drama on HBO.
Yeah.
Called, what'd you say, Maria Hill?
The Pepsi can.
Not Maria Hill. Maria Hill's on the Shield.
Yeah, Anita Hill's who you're thinking of.
Anita Hill,
yes.
The soda can.
Yes, the Coke can.
It was that Nick Fury sexual harassment suit that Maria Hill fired against him.
Well, you know, he's in a position of power. He let things get away from him. No, it's called Confirmation. It is a dramatization of that event, of those hearings. You got Joe Biden played by Greg Kinnear. Very dead on, by the way. Oh my gosh, it's absolutely Joe Biden, who had sort of an important role in those hearings. So did a few other people, including our own whack-a-job. I can't think of his name now.
What year did this happen again?
90, 91, 92, 90, yeah, something like that.
About right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember it. I just, like I said, I only remember like. The soda can.
It may have been, because the Coke can part I totally remember.
Yeah.
Like vividly. So everyone should remember that. Yeah, all that stuff. What a weird freaking thing to say.
Yeah, it really was.
And
then
the fact that Judge Thomas has been so quiet since his inauguration, he has not said a peep in years until Scalia died, and then he suddenly talked.
Right.
But I think that's weird. Like, it's weird that one of our justices just sort of sits back there going, oh, I'm not saying shit. Like, it's just a weird thing. But anyway, forget about all that. All the intrigue and politics aside, it is extremely well made. The acting is impeccable. Everybody's really good in it. A bunch of actors you know from a million things. But the standouts are probably Kinnear. And then the actress who plays Anita Hill, her name is... She's on... Oh, my brain. She's on that Scandal show.
Scandal show.
She was in Django... She was in the box in Django, naked. I can't think of her name. Chat room, you got to bail me out.
Or you can just
Kerry Washington.
Look her up on IMDb.
That's it. Kerry Washington.
Kerry Washington. Oh, Scandal.
Yeah, Scandal. Yes. Yeah, that's like, didn't I? I thought I said Scandal. Anyway,
did you say Scandal? I may have.
But anyway, it's real good. And you should see it. Now, here's how the rules were applied. Okay? Because the two rules were, for the setting, she's out of school. And when she's harassed, she's at an office. Okay? That's the one I'm barely sort of kind of skirting around, all right? I understand it's not set there, but the allegations were all happened within an office, and she is later teaching at a school. Then, the courtroom business is all up in this joint, so that's easy, court of law.
Yeah, I think that qualifies.
Nailed it! Nailed it! Now we get to see how far the master of these ceremonies veered from her own rules. So, Nicole, what'd you do?
I'm able to do setting.
Okay. So. All right. No setting for you.
I have two clips.
Okay.
And I will say this movie is totally film sackable. So if you're looking for a movie, I think it would be hilarious for the four of you to watch this movie.
All right. I'm in.
Okay.
It does have... music.
Okay.
So there's singing involved.
Oh, it's a musical then, is it?
Sort of, kind of.
Oh boy.
There's like, outbreaks of song, but not really a musical. Okay. If that makes any sense.
All right.
So I'll give you the first one.
All right.
I'll play a little clip and then I'll play a second clip, which is even better. So here you go.
I like boys.
So did you get it on that one?
I have no idea.
Is that Julie? It sounds like Julie Brown.
No, you're not gonna. You're no.
I'm way off. Yeah.
Actress in this movie. So here's your second one.
All right.
No, I wish you saw more of me than just brains, though. You know, give them time. Men are like another species. They're really hard to get through to. Like, take Rhett, for example.
Rhett? Capoletti? You like Rhett, Molly.
You think he's weird, don't you?
Well, I mean, he's not exactly my type, but...
Yeah, I guess he's cute. Yeah, and he's really nice, and he's really funny. I heard him in class once. Oh, and he has the cutest walk. Yeah, I guess I could see you guys together.
It's like, is this from a softcore porn or something?
I'm king, and they know it. When I snap my fingers, everybody sees.
Finally, chat room got it.
All right, is it breaking or something? What is it?
Now I'm seeing the chat room. I have no idea what this is. This isn't the Sabrina thing, right?
No.
It's a separate thing.
1989 movie called Teen Witch.
I've never heard of this either.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you're not, I mean, when it came out, I was, you know, a teenage girl, and it's about a young girl who finds out she's a witch.
They showed this in prison. Is that the connection?
Yeah, how is it connected to the, where's the court?
No, it's a school. It takes place
in school. Of course.
Oh, right.
And it's not, they don't have a tent. I thought for sure there would be like a tennis scene, but it was like a football. The guy she's after is a captain of the football.
I love that you went into it hoping there was a tennis scene. Instead, you had to say they played on the football court.
Oh, I totally know. Okay, this actress, I totally know. What do I know her from? Because it's not.
Well, I mean, I've seen her in other stuff, and I think it was The Boy Who Could Fly.
Robin Lively, right, from Karate Kid 3. She was the girlfriend.
Oh, gosh. This
she went down to help get the bonsai tree from he planted for Mr. Miyagi, and then the guys snapped in half.
Aww. I will say this is one of my guilty pleasure movies. And I have watched it all the way through a few times.
I can't for the life of me even place the timing, or I'm looking at the stuff. I don't, none of this is familiar.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
It's so bad. It's one of my guilty pleasure movies.
And where is this now? Sorry.
Netflix.
Okay. Netflix. Good Lord.
See, I'm not the only one. I have a number of people in the chat room going, yeah, it's one of my guilty pleasures too.
Well, wow. I feel guilty just hearing about it.
Ugly Duckling to Swan movies. And when you're, you know, a teenager and you're feeling like crap, these kind of movies tend to make you feel a little better.
Yeah,
because it's so ridiculous.
Well,
you're like, maybe I'm a witch too, and I can make the whole school love me.
So wait, can you explain to me how she just finds out she's a witch?
It's her 16th on her 16th birthday.
Something happens like biologically where you can suddenly cast spells, like a puberty kind of thing, or what?
No, she actually gets caught, I think, in a storm, and she ends up in at a psychic's house.
She's bitten by a radioactive witch.
I love that idea. You just described a better witch movie and a better Spider-Man movie, by the way.
Right. Yeah. You know, David C. in the chat room, it's a female version of Teen Wolf. That's exactly what this is.
Wow. Okay. And Teen Wolf, that's on MTV right now, I keep hearing really good things about that, and it's all serious. Has anyone seen that?
You just wanted to get away from Teen Witch.
Yeah, I'm out of that. I'm done.
I need you to watch it, though, Scott.
I will never. Maybe we'll film sack it.
It sounds like a perfect film. This is on Netflix, you said?
It's on Netflix, and that rap battle is... It's so uncomfortable to watch, but you will not be able to look away from it.
All right. I say we put this on the list ASAP, Scott.
Okay, I'm in.
Seriously, I'm just going to give you the clip because just hearing it is not enough. You have to see the white boys try to like do the moves. It's hilarious.
Wow. All right.
Well, it makes me laugh.
Maybe as we prepare for the Captain America Civil War, we can have another fight, another battle of the ages with Teen Witch.
Wait a minute. So
top that.
Archineer posted a clip saying that Jeff Cannata and Dan
Trachtenberg
did the scene.
Oh, they did?
They've done the scene?
Did a YouTube of one of the scenes from a movie. Is that really what I am to gather from this clip?
Let's click it and see.
Oh, you want Pez?
Nah, I'm not really in the mood.
Oh, this is an old Totally Rad Show clip.
Oh, God.
It looks like they did. And there's Jeff dancing by a car. I remember this.
Oh, that's so funny.
I'm king, and they know it.
Okay, that's really hard to watch. I'm not going to do that anymore. Guys are my friends. I don't want to think of them that way.
I've just added Teen Witch to the film sack list, so it's
so funny.
It's after The Mummy and Da Vinci Code.
Yeah.
Collateral Damage. Yeah. Boom. Teen Witch.
Yeah.
Teen Witch.
That's crazy. Well, all right then. So there's something to watch for sure.
And so you see why I wanted to. I've been wanting to tell you about this movie for a while.
It's pretty great. I think we do want to film sack this unless someone vetoes it. We have this rule on the team that anyone who just is totally opposed can veto, and we all have to respect
just
it.
I hear Randy go, "What the hell am I watching?"
Yeah,
we I like never getting tell him you about the time.
I was at that time. Witch. I was a teen witch when I was 16. I could suddenly shoot sparklers out of my wiener. all right, that's all good. Let's have a thing for next week. What's our theme?
So we got to do this, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Roll the dice, as it were.
Just thinking about that episode makes me laugh. Let's see. Characters.
Yeah.
Are animals.
Oh.
And props, gold, diamond, or pearls.
What? Oh, my Lord.
This is hard.
That's hard. Yeah. Okay,
so
wait.
Characters have to be animals, or there has to be a character that's an animal?
Characters are animals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the props used gold, diamond, or pearls.
Okay, I think I already have one in my head. I'm going to blow everybody's mind.
Goonies, that doesn't work because they are not animals.
Right, no Goonies.
Children are animals, but, you know.
They sure can be. All right, hold on, I got to write this down.
Yeah,
right.
Smaba has my
picture
my
of it. Thank you.
It's going to be... I'm not looking because I don't want to see if... I don't want to get it. I don't want to copy yours. All right, chat room, quit typing stuff, you jackasses.
But I'll say the one you're thinking of is the one that I'm thinking of.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Nicole, it's always fun, this stuff.
In any case, yeah.
Let's do this again next week.
Okay.
It's Nicole Spag, everybody, on Twitter. Follow her there. She'll talk more about recommendals there.
Just any of them.
Yes. And you'll see her in...
I'll let you know.
You'll see her in The Division if you're playing on the PlayStation 4 and you like only 30 frames of screen rate.
I just enjoy relaxing on my couch.
That's also good. Yep. So
I'm not debating the quality of play on the PC versus PS4.
Come on, I want to have a fake fight that's not worth having. Let's do it.
PC's all right. Totally better.
This is better, man. PC
if
rules.
Feel better. I'm playing Fallout 4 on the PC.
Oh, good. That's a smart choice because... there's actually genuine problems on console with that game.
Yeah, so. After my experience with Fallout 2 on my PS3, I said, no more!
Yeah, Fallout 3, I mean, I think.
No,
yeah.
It was Fallout 2.
2? That would have been like 97, right?
Or maybe...
Yeah, it had to be Fallout 3.
Maybe it was 3.
Maybe it was 3, or maybe it was Fallout 3 New Vegas. Or just Fallout
New
Vegas.
It wasn't New Vegas. I know it wasn't New Vegas.
It had to be 3.
New Vegas on my PC.
Because 1 and 2 were PC games only, and they were like 2D.
Okay, so it was 3.
Yeah. Never mind. Now listen, here's the deal. I want to know how far you get and how much you like it, because you're a big time, like one of my friends who really loves the Fallout world, right? I'm very curious where you end up on this game. I really liked it, but I don't want to taint anything you have to say about it until you've gotten far enough in to tell me.
Taint?
You're a... You know, John, that's like Kasich between Trump and Cruz. There's Kasich. Right. He's the taint between them.
He's the taint, right.
But no, when you get far enough, I'm very curious about your opinion because you always were a big time, Fallout person.
I think, I've been waiting for a game to kind of get me back in. I know Fallout is a huge game and I probably put in 300 hours into Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas is great.
So I've been just kind of keeping it like there. I'm like, it's there. I know I can come to it whenever I need. So I think The Division got me back into playing just gaming nightly. So I probably, when I'm done with The Division, I will go to Uncharted and then I'll go to Fallout.
All right. You let me know. I'm very curious. Maybe have you on a show or something. Talk about your impressions.
Hey, you know what? I hear you do a podcast about games.
Yeah, there are a few. And, we used to do one together. Why not get the team back together to talk about it? And then we could even bring Brian on and he'll not have played anything.
Right.
So,
here it is still in plastic wrap on my shelf. Yeah. I love this game.
I got the demo.
Times.
Yeah, got the demo. Haven't played it, but got the demo. That's what I'm saying. Nicole, take it easy. We'll talk to you next week. Brian, it's time now for some emails. In lieu of Tom Merritt, there are emails.
Okay, it's a sad substitute, but one I'm happy to support.
Yeah, it's a great Tom Berenger movie, though. The Sad Substitute.
The Sad Substitute.
Tell us about Coverville today before we do.
Sure. Emails are brought to you by Coverville, where today it's the tribute you knew was coming. It's covers of and by Prince. Prince of the Revolution, some stuff Prince recorded, some covers he's recorded over the years, as well as tons of covers that other people have done of his music. You know, it's been said that Prince hated people covering his songs, but all of the ones that you hear on today's Coverville were ones he would have approved.
Oh,
were ones he would have liked.
Wow.
So,
look at you.
I don't know. I mean, I'm going out on a limb here, but I'm breaking my rules of not using songs that I've played on the show before or shying away from them. It's going to be my favorite covers of all of his songs, and it should be, hopefully it'll be a good show. That'll be today at 1 p.m. Mountain Time at coverville.com/live.
I like it. Something I have to tell you about when we're done. Don't let me forget.
Okay. You just it's the me of Joni it. Mitchell cover, right?
No, not that.
Okay.
Something totally un-Prince related.
Unrelated to the purple Paisley one.
The Papal Rain, which is the Pope. That's Pope urination.
And as we know,
Purple Rain stands for Papal Pee. all right, so let's get to the one here from M. Jacob, who wrote in and says, Brian, battle of the bands. Every band from all time gets to be in the fight. Who wins?
Wow.
I think you can also say solo acts. I think that's fair.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, battle of the artists, yeah. I mean, you could say that the Polyphonic Spree, just because they've got the numbers. There's like 23 people in that band,
good Lord.
If it's a real fight, then they can take out smaller bands. Or you could say Gwar.
They've
got armor.
My money might be on Gwar. They're pretty badass. Although, aren't they all just like 55 now and living under that makeup?
Yeah, they are,
all right,
probably
forget
need,
it.
You know, glaucoma and stuff like that settling in.
Working on their weight, that kind of thing.
I think, you know, I'd go with this band for both the hypothetical actual fight as well as like... who would just kind of clean up in the competition. And again, this is not, this isn't my favorite band, but I think these guys would win the Clash, would win the Battle of the Bands.
Oh, wow.
Also because of their name. But no, I think that they'd, you know, your classic Clash lineup with Mick Jones and Joe Strummer and Topperheaden and all those guys, I think they'd win. They'd fight dirty and they'd rock the whole time.
Well, there you go. I like your pick. I really have a pick in this. I don't have a dog in this fight. I don't have skin in this game. Here's a call or an email from Crit, who is always getting those higher numbers because his name is Crit.
That's right. The yellow numbers, yellow damage.
Yellow damage every time, or red damage if you're playing heroes. Not that it's relevant conversation anymore, but two of the Alaskan blockbusters are in Kenai and Soldotna.
Soldotna.
Thank you. Which, he was so much better than that. Or at that.
This is the Blockbuster video discussion.
Yeah. Whether Blockbusters exist in places. This is in Alaska, by the way. Mm-hmm. I believe there are franchises owned by one person and get to keep the branding even if the company folded. They are pretty run down. I don't think they stock a whole wall of one release, but I might be wrong. We only have two ISPs in the area, and they don't really actively update their infrastructure, so they only offer 768K to 3 megabytes on the average, unless you live right downtown and... They offer fairly limited packages. My guess is people not living directly in the city limits may still be renting movies. They aren't any Redbox options like that, like they have in the States. Wait, if he's in Alaska, he's still in the States. Come on, man. You're part of us, man.
Yeah.
You're part of us. Don't be like that. I stream on 3 megabit. As long as no one else is using the bandwidth, it works okay. I typically just buy new releases because picture quality is better. And never return my movies on time, so it's usually cheaper to buy them. That's great. Related story tomorrow, by the way.
Sounds like Crit could probably run a Blockbuster if he's always buying new releases. He might as well just, you know,
Crit Video. That's a great name.
Put a little red box on the side of his house, and then have people come up to it, and he'll walk over to the red box. Would you like the new Fantastic Four movie?
It's really good. Why don't you just tell me the movie you want to see?
Great reference.
Crit's,
welcome Crit to box. Crit's portable video entertainment distribution mechanism. I'm Crit.
Here's an email from somebody geeking out in Austin. They don't give their name.
Geeking out for autism.
I'm an idiot. Geeking out for autism. Excuse me.
Right.
Good morning, TMS. I know this is probably way too late to get this in, and I don't know if you'd even post it or mention it anywhere, but I thought I would send it anyway. I'm a member of a Facebook group called Autism Dads, Dads with Children with Autism, who are on the spectrum, and one of the other members posted this today, and I thought I should pass it along because it is both geeky and well in Utah. Look at
Utah
this.
Connection.
I'm gonna bring it up, and I'm going to tell you about it. I think we may have missed the dates. Let's see. Oh, it's today.
Oh, there you go.
Okay,
so if you're in Utah.
Today at 7 p.m. to 12 a.m. at the Hookah Bar. That's 151 East, 6100 South Murray. That's in Murray. Fashion Place Mall. They have this thing where they have autism night at the Hookah. And they're geeking out for autism. And it looks like they're doing a bunch of nerdy stuff to help drive, you know, autism awareness and sort of create focus groups and stuff like that. And it's like comic book stuff and Harry Potter things and all sorts of crap going on at that bar.
Is this place like an actual hookah bar or?
I don't know. I've seen it, but I've never, I guess I don't know.
Jeez. I like their Facebook page, mm-hmm. the hookah bar / nightclub.
Yeah.
Has a really cool big picture of what it looks like. It looks like, yeah, it is a hookah lounge. Oh, no, it looks like those are absinthe taps.
Oh, are they? All right.
That's cool. But the little photo, the little square photo that appears all by their post,
yeah.
It's four young women wearing nothing but T-shirts and panties.
This sounds like the hookah lounge to me.
Yeah.
It's right across the mall, a street from the mall that I basically grew up in. As a kid, I would just hang out there constantly. My dad had an arcade in that mall. Like, that mall is something special.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
But I don't know about the hookah part.
That's their ladies' night logo, apparently.
Oh, is that it? Okay. But only come in your panties? Is that the deal?
I guess. You know, you get $5 sex on the beach and $4 sorbet shots.
Did you hear about this guy? There was a guy on Twitch the other night, some League of Legends player. Maybe it wasn't the other night. I may have my time frame mixed up, but some League of Legends guy thought he was done streaming his games.
Mm-hmm.
He thought he had turned off everything.
Oh, no.
He sat there watching some kind of parno, hardcore parn, and let's just put it this way, he had to peel a potato, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And it's all out there now.
Oh,
how embarrassed
God.
Would you be? And I guess
dude,
he was like
ruined.
He was like a popular. You know how you do it. This is how you do it. You embrace it. You find out that you got caught, and now what you do is you own it, dude. Oh. You come out and say, "I was caught." Flaying the fish or whatever and just make a big deal out of it because it's the only way out, man. What else are you going to do? Curl up in a corner and die? What are you going to do?
Exactly.
All right. One more email. This is from Brock from Kalamazoo. That's like a cartoon name. That's not a real place, is it?
Kalamazoo. It is. It's in Michigan.
It's like a place Daffy Duck would tell
home of the Kalamazoo Register. Been there.
Good morning, Strawberry and Blueberry. You would be Blueberry because you're B.
Sure, B, right.
Over the weekend, when I went up to Meat Major, I guess that's a place, to pick up some groceries.
Oh, Meijer. It's like a grocery store.
Oh, M-E-I-G-E-R?
J-E-R, yeah. M-E-I-J-E-R.
Oh, that's funny.
Meijer.
We have a place here called Fred Meijer, and it's spelled different, though. Anyway.
It's with a Y, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, to pick up some groceries, was going down the soup aisle and found the Campbell's Chicken and Stars soup. If I remember right, that's the one Scott said he never saw anywhere. You can eat rice, though, Brock from Kalamazoo. So if that still exists, I would buy some chicken and stars
chicken
when I was a kid.
And stars.
Oh, I loved it when I was a kid.
Little star-shaped noodles.
Yeah. It seems wrong, but also great at the same time.
You know what I haven't had in a long time?
What's that?
Alphabet soup.
Me neither.
Any sort of alphabet soup.
Yeah, what's happened to that? That's gone out of style.
What is the deal with alphabet soup?
What?
Probably came under fire for being, you know, English-centric, right? Mm. It didn't take into account other languages. And although, you know, sometimes you get that backwards R because it's upside down.
Oh,
so
like
you get the Russian.
Yeah. comrade, I see you are eating right. soup with lettuce.
Do other languages have alphabet soup? Like, is there a Mandarin Chinese alphabet soup?
I don't think so, because you got too many characters that have like loose dots
or
and
Japanese.
Things.
Japanese? Oh my God, that'd be so cool,
It'd
right?
It'd be cool, but they're not connected is the problem. So like the roof of a thing with a Japanese character would be floating independently.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? You'd have to connect them somehow.
Right, because it's all, right, it's many separated lines that make up their...
That'd be like if ours had lowercase letters and the I, you had to figure out where the I's are so you put the dots over them. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that wouldn't work.
But by the way.
Yeah.
And we got a minute here. I'm throwing this in here because it's so damn cool.
All right.
I saw the greatest video by this photographer named Christophe Galep.
Okay.
And it is a video of Tokyo, and it is done so beautifully. But the cool thing is, it's like, oh, yeah, I'll watch this video. And it's almost like he followed Tina and Tristan and I around on our trip through Tokyo and went to exactly the same places we went. Every place that he shows you in this video is...
Somewhere you guys went?
Is a place we went. And it's a beautiful video. I'm putting a link in the show or in the chat room.
Did you?
I'm going to put a link in Skype.
Did you follow like a recommended...
No, we made our own itinerary, but we had like, all right, yeah, we definitely want to do Akihabara, and we want to do Shinjuku, and we have all these places we want to go. Mm. The temple that he shows is the one right next to our hotel. There's even, you know, when he pans across the city skyline, he stops right on our hotel on the park that it's on. It is a gorgeous, gorgeous video.
Well, here it is, chat room, showing a taste of it here. It's got some nice music, too. That music reminds me of the video game Machinarium.
Oh, sure.
Wow, right? This is really pretty.
It's really pretty. And so, you know, it's high resolution or high def video. And
oh, wow.
You just see how sprawling that city is. And
Tokyo has a lot of people. And look how many of them are wearing face masks.
Right? Yeah, I know.
I mean, over there, that's a sign of real courtesy. Like, if you're having a little bit of a cold, you wear a mask and you're awesome for doing
it. Yeah.
Here in these States United, if you do that, people think you're weird.
Totally. And they think you're doing it because you don't trust anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
It is...
it's really neat.
It makes me... Watching that thing makes me want to go back so bad. I know Patrick is there right now, and I'm envious.
Yeah, it's super cool. Japan's awesome. I was only there for 2 days, but I loved while I was there. Mm-hmm. I want to go back.
Mm-hmm.
Japan, all the way. Oh, even that guy's got a mask. Look at these masks.
Masks everywhere.
I'm going to start wearing a mask.
Okay.
You know what I liked about Tokyo? And I know that, you know, I mean, there's the mafia there and there's other issues and stuff. But it but it always...
Yakuza?
The Yakuza. But they seem so... Everything was so clean. Like, the taxi drivers had these, like, doilies on their seats and white gloves and... Mm-hmm. Nothing was ever dirty.
Right. You don't get into a cab and feel like, is there a way I could hover 2 inches above this seat because I don't want to touch this.
And so here in the States, we're just like, let's put our shit here. Like, it's just, I wish we were more, I don't know. Salt Lake's pretty good, but a lot of cities in this country are kind of terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this is neat. Did you go on this
Ferris wheel? No. I've talked about it on the show. Tina has a morbid fear of Ferris wheels. So
Tina, sister from another mother.
Yeah.
I hate them.
She refuses to do any
I can't
Ferris
do them
wheel.
Either. I can't do them either, dude. She's not wrong. She's right to feel that way. It's a horrible, horrible thing, and nobody should put themselves through it. Wow, what a cool city. Aren't you glad we didn't? I am so glad the powers that be in the 40s did not nuke this city.
Oh, God, yeah.
Right. I forget about... let's pretend for a minute that there wasn't a huge loss of life in the other two locations. But I'm just saying, just from a reconstruction standpoint, this would have been
It's
hard.
Just, yeah, it's an amazing city, and I'm totally with you.
Oh, Tokyo, dude. Just make it all dark and misty and rainy, and you got your Blade Runner right there.
Right. Yeah, especially those nighttime shots. But, like, even that, like, there's a thing where you're going down this walkway or this street, and you see the Godzilla head on the back of this building. We walked right through that. We even went to dinner there with owner and Kumi, who live out there. It's just it was amazing. It's amazing how much this video follows our trip, but it's regardless, it's just a beautiful video.
Yeah, you should take some time to watch it, everybody. It's on Vimeo.
I wish I could download it and make it my background.
You can. Well, you can download it. I don't know how you make it your background.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. There's all kinds of utilities to download Vimeo.
I didn't think you could do that with Vimeo. I knew you could do it with YouTube, but I didn't think you could do it with...
Oh, totally can. Any video sharing site, there's a tool.
All right.
Speaking of tools, we're out of here. Thank you for being a part of it today, everybody. We really appreciate it. If you'd like to send your own emails into the show, themorningstream@gmail.com is where you do that. You can also leave voicemails at 801-471-0462. Find us on Twitter, @Coverville, @ScottJohnson, @Morningstream. And, of course, frogpants.reddit.com for all your Reddit needs. frogpants.com/TMS is the website. You can support us there at Patreon. There's a link right there, so just click it. Today's episode will be called Up the Wazoo. I think that's it. Let's get out of here. Brian, let's do music on the way out, shall
okay.
we?
Okay. Chris Moore wrote in, said, hello, Hound and Jazz. Mm. This is Chris of Atlanta. On the 25th of April of 2016, my faithful wife Kelly and I will celebrate 5 years together. It's good that he identifies her as faithful. Mm. Like,
I agree.
You know, not my beautiful wife, my lovely wife, my faithful wife. Mm-hmm. And I'll celebrate 5 years together. She's endured 4 of 6 years of my Air Force career and transitioning out in 2015. She's given birth to 2 awesome daughters that both almost killed her during birth. Ooh. And loves Star Wars, Firefly, had to introduce her to it. And now TMS once again made her listen to it. She is the rock that holds the roof. I would like to request a cover of Danny's song by Kenny Loggins, if possible. If not, a Beatles-based love song, maybe a fish sandwich. Ah. Love you, Kelly. And, have me a glass of tea ready, please.
Fish sandwich, too early. Here it is.
Hey, it's too early to get a fish sandwich.
There you go.
Nice. P.S. Scott, don't feel bad about the ignorant racist Southern accent. We do it too, because there's always someone we can't understand. Forever and always, Chris Moore, a.k.a. GingerDwarf282 on Twitch. Love you guys.
Aw.
Well, Chris, we love you too, and thank you for doing what you're doing in your service. And
yep.
That's awesome. Yep. All right. Well, I love me a good Danny's song by Kenny Loggins cover. You may not know it by that name because it's not like it's in the lyrics, right? This is a cover by the band Story Hill from their album Duotones from 2009, originally done by Gator Creek, covered by Kenny Loggins or Loggins and Messina back in the 70s. This is Danny's song.
Danny's song. Tomorrow, it's Danny's Thursday edition of TMS. So come on back for that. And we'll see you then.
People smile and tell me I'm the lucky one, and we've just begun. Think I'm gonna have a son. He will be like she and me, as free as a dove, conceived in love. The sun is gonna shine above. And even though we ain't got money, I'm so in love with you, honey. And everything will bring a chain of love. And in the morning when I rise, you bring a tear of joy to my eyes and tell me gonna be alright. Pisces, Virgo rising is a very good sign. Strong and kind, and a little boy is mine. Now I see a family where there once was none, and we've just begun. Yeah, we're gonna fly to the sun. Even though we ain't got money, I'm so in love with you, honey. And everything will bring a chain of love. And in the morning when I rise, you bring a tear of joy to my eyes and tell me everything is gonna be alright. Love the girl. Yeah, drink it up. Love her and she'll bring you luck. And if you find she helps your mind, buddy, take her home. Boy, don't you live alone. Try and earn what lovers own. And even though we ain't got money, I'm so in love with you, honey. Alright.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
I don't like the vagina.
No, you don't.